It's a great pleasure to introduce this fresh, young, and appealing new face to many of us, who's certainly doing God's work very effectively. The title of his address is Blueprint for Slavery, Evangelist Cecil Todd.
Thank you very much. It is a great honor and a privilege for me to be here this afternoon to address you in this fashion. I appreciate the fine remarks of Dr. Douglas. Appreciate the opportunity that has been given to me from the leaders and directors on the God Family and Country Rally, Mrs. McKinney and Colonel Bunker, and honoring me in this way and being able to be on the same program with such outstanding speakers as we're privileged to hear during this rally time. To give just a little more insight of how much it means to me, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Perhaps from my accent you can see that I'm not from Boston, but I'm from Oklahoma. They call them Okies. And I was raised in the southeastern part of the state in a range of mountains known as the Kiamishes. This is Indian country. I was raised in an Indian house. The word Kiamishi is an Indian word that means at the end of the trail, or as the Indian would say it, no go farther. And that's where we lived, no go farther. We never had a car. We never had electricity. We never had any modern conveniences. I was raised on a creek bank at the foot of a mountain. 11 of us children, nine of them boys, and four of them that are now ministers. I was 16 years old before I darkened the door of anybody's church building. Not because I didn't want to go to church, but because there were no churches to go to. For years, this area was called the land that God forgot. And I know what it's like to be raised in an area of this nature. Coming to those mountains were men such as A.B. Mac Reynolds, better known as Brother Mac, and other missionaries that came to those mountains in answer to our prayers and told us about the Lord Jesus. And it is from there that I have left those mountains when I was 17 years old, and the message I have for you today is a message that I present with fear and trembling, and from the background that I come. And I tell you that it is not my message. It is the message that God has given to me. I hope that God will somehow take, as he did for Isaiah, the coals off of the altars of heaven, be able to touch my lips, that I might somehow, by God's power, inspire you for him and for his country. My message appeared in abbreviated form in our magazine, Revival Fires, several months ago. Someone on our mailing list, and we have about 24,000 that receive our magazine at the present time, sent a copy of this magazine to America's number one atheist, Madeline Murray. She took the time to read it, and then she sat down and wrote us a personal letter, a threat, an attack upon the Revival Fires ministry. And of course, this shook us a little bit, but it let us know that our message was getting through, that what we were trying to say was being listened to. You know, someone has rightfully said, you know what a man stands for, not only by his friends that stand with him, but by his enemies that stand against him. Since that time, we have continued to use this message in radio and television and rallies and books and records in every way possible. But we figured if we could upset, disturb, and get Madeline Murray on the warpath with it, maybe we could get all America on the warpath against the godless trends now prevalent in America. My message entitled Blueprint for Slavery. Blueprint for Slavery. In the book of Psalms, the 33rd chapter and verse 12, I turn you to a verse of scripture that I believe is needed to be sounded in this hour. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Before that we continue the message, I'm going to ask that we bow our head for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, with bowed heads and humble hearts, we thank thee for this hour. Father in heaven, we pray that you can use this entire rally to rekindle the flames of patriotism and the hearts and the homes of all across this land. Father, we pray that you might in this special moment anoint from heavenly altars lips of clay that must speak the words of life and death. And Father, that somehow that I might have the courage, yea, Lord, the boldness to say what needs to be said in this uncertain hour. So use, O God, this thy word and the hearts of each one that have gathered. And may, O Father, it be a tool in your hands for all America, the world, and for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am told that when Andrew Johnson, the 17th President of the United States, was laid to rest in Carter Station, Tennessee in the year of 1875, that there was a very unusual circumstance that surrounded the service. I'm told that as they laid him in the casket, under his head they placed a copy of the Constitution of the United States, and in his hands they placed a copy of the Holy Bible. As I read this account, I could not help but be stirred and moved again of the deep religious heritage that brought about the birth and the beginning of America. I don't know if you've stopped to think about it or not, but America is one nation whose birth and beginning is different than any other country. The roots of American heritage reach deep into the heart of God. When Columbus sailed the high seas, we're told that and he felt guided of God in his discovery. And the first thing that he did when he reached these Americas was to get down on his knees, and there he dedicated America to God. Furthermore, we're told that when the early colonies came across the rough and stormy waters of the oceans with freedom throbbing in their hearts, that the first thing they did when they reached this American continent was to fall on their faces and kiss the American soil. And there they dreamed the great dreams that America would be a land that would be free of dictators, tyrants, and cutthroats. That it would be a land where that man could worship God according to the dictates of his own heart and soul. We cannot think of our country without thinking of the father of our country, George Washington. And to mention his name, we see a soldier down on his knees in the cold snow of Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And not too many yards from him stood a band of soldiers who were cold and not properly clothed, who were hungry and their feet were bleeding, the blood staining the snow. It appeared that everything they held dear to their hearts was at stake, their future, their families, their freedom. There did not appear any way in this world that they could win that conflict, that they could win against these unsurmountable odds. But down on his knees, George Washington prayed. He prayed for divine power, divine intervention, and divine deliverance. And it appears from the history book that this prayer was the turning point of battle, and America went on to purchase her freedom and to have this republic as we know it today. Then we recognize that when the First Continental Congress met for the purpose of drawing up the Constitution of the United States in Philadelphia, the discord, dissension, and division developed, even to the extent that the individuals had decided to go back to their homes and abandon the efforts of writing up the Constitution. But it was at this crisis hour in American history that another great patriot and man of God by the name of Benjamin Franklin called that First Continental Congress to prayer. And he had those men to get down on their knees and there to pray for God's help, for God's wisdom and God's direction. And it was out of that prayer meeting was born the Constitution of the United States.
One does not have to read very far in the early pages of American history, but what he sees without a doubt that America is one nation under God, born on her knees. And I am just bold enough to believe that the only way that America is going to be able to survive this present crisis hour is for America to be brought again to her knees before God in genuine repentance and in genuine surrender to what God has given to us. The only way to get America on her feet is to get America on her knees. And this is God's answer to a sin-sick land. Unless Americans are brought to their knees in repentance before God, I believe that Americans shall soon be brought to their knees before godless tyrants. As we look at the country today, and we see the country we have now, and the country we read about in our history books, our hearts are deeply cut. It almost seems like we're living in two different Americas. The America that we read about in our history books, and how far that we've drifted from the faith of our fathers, how far that we've wandered from these beaten paths and old landmarks ever given to us at the sacrifice of life and all that they had of our fathers that have preceded us. You and I know that as we look at our land today, we are sadly appalled. There's not a one of us that sits here this afternoon in the comforts of this convention and the comforts of this rally. What we realize, the solemn and stinging truth, that while we sit here, our own American boys are giving their life blood in the jungles and the rice paddies of South Vietnam. But do we know why that they're giving their blood there? Oh, I know that this war leaves many things to be desired, but it should drive home the central fact that they are dying over there that we might be able to meet in such an assembly as we have right here this afternoon. The price of blood has ever been the price to keep men and nations free. Whether it is flowing from the side of the Son of God on Calvary's mountain or staining the battlefields across some foreign soil, the price of blood has been the price to keep men and nations free. And it may be that your blood and mine will enter this river before it's all over. And we need to realize that freedom is not free. And the one way that we will lose our freedoms is to fail to use them. Oh, dear people, we know that all of our trouble is not on foreign soil. Abraham Lincoln said, if America ever falls, it'll not be from the outside, it will be from the inside. I'm not half as concerned about these godless communists and lousy communists as I am these lazy Americans who are unwilling to do what must be done in this hour as freedom's fight is being battled and enraged. We look here in America and our hearts sink. We see the riots, the demonstrations, the lawlessness, the anarchy in our streets. We see churches, bombs, homes destroyed. The standards of our forefathers have been smashed. Virtue, honor, decency, and purity made the jest of the streets. Lustfulness, lewdness, licentiousness, infidelity, and dishonor are being deified. The screen, the radio, the literary page are all lending themselves to the saturnalia of corruption. How that crime is going at an unprecedented and an unparalleled pace. How that our homes are crumbling with 3 out of every 5 marriages ending in divorce. I'm told that last year in Los Angeles County, there of California, there were more divorces than there were marriages. How that here in America, we're told by J. Edgar Hoover, 250,000 homes are destroyed every year by divorce. And that the major cause of juvenile problem is the broken home. In addition to this, we're facing godless trends in liquor traffic, whether we have 175,000 more taverns than we have churches of all denominations combined. It's not a very happy thing to know we have more places to get drunk than to go to church, and we have more bartenders than preachers, and we have more barmaids than girls going to college, and we have more alcoholics than we do cancer patients. America's on her knees, but not in prayer. America's on her knees in spiritual weakness. Oh, my friends, I declare to you this afternoon that the problem is from within. The cancer of the soul, the fever of the mind, the tuberculosis of the heart, that the internal collapse in America is that that poses a threat for any outside conspiracy. America's been able to stand through the Khrushchev, the Castro's, the Kosygins, the Hitlers, the Mussolinis of the past because we've been strong for God. Oh, my friend, you show me a person who loves his country, and I'll show you a person who loves his God, because they go together. The fabric of our American heritage is interwoven in God. And my friend, to separate it is to cause defeat. As we look at the conditions in our churches, we're appalled. Many churches, religious movements that were born in the midst of a revival fire now sat in the smoke and smolder in the ashes. And about the only fire in some of these churches is in the kitchen under the coffee pot. We have seen a godless hordes that have come in and have almost tried to take over every segment of our society. We hear Herbert Philbrick, who released some time ago to the Press Symmetry newspaper of Memphis, Tennessee, these words. He said, America only has from 10 to 12 years of freedom left unless there's something done. This is not an irresponsible person that gave those words, but a man who has the facts at his fingertips. But do we not know, dear people, if America falls, the whole world falls with us? There's not another country can stand if we fall. If the torch of light and liberty goes out in America, the whole world shall be in darkness. It is imperative that America, the great bastion of hope and freedom, continues to stand, that the world may stand. But you say, how can it be? How can the tides be turned? How can the course be changed? How can the godless corruption that belches like a volcano out of hell upon us, how can it be cleaned up and America to be set on the right course and be able to stand against the godless tyrants that are battering at the walls of righteousness and freedom that have stood so long around our land? My friend, I do not believe that the answer is in politics. I do not believe that the answer is in political parties. This is not a battle going on between Democrats and Republicans. This, my friend, is a spiritual battle. This is one time that Washington can't do it for us. I fear that too many Americans are content to think that Washington and our government can appropriate a few billion dollars and just about clean up every mess that we have. My friend, you find that now that our government is in a dilemma. Every path to peace they pursue, they find to be a dead-end street. Our officials, national officials of elected offices, are wringing their hands in despair. This is one time that Washington can't do it for us. Oh, dear people, the Lord's Prayer does not read, "Our Father, which art in Washington." In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 12, God says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Oh, do we see that our real enemy is the forces of the Antichrist? The real enemy is the devil, and the devil is using communism as his tool, atheism, modernism, socialism, and anything else that can get his hands on, to delude, to deceive, and damn the Americans and the whole world. We must do more than turn people against communism. We must turn them to Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends. We cannot win in this fight without God, and even if we could, we would still be losers. God needs to be in the heart of every conservative movement. For my friend, we cannot succeed without God, without his power, without his presence, and without his wisdom and leadership. Oh, to fight with God is to be on the winning team. We need to realize that God has laid down to us his message and his ways. I declare to you that the future of America, or whether or not it goes into slave camps or stays free, that the future of America is not in the hands of Washington. The future of America is not in the hands of a political party. The future of America, I contend, is in the hands and the hearts of God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans. For not only are the ideals those in which that are reverenced by our forefathers, the message that God has given to us is the one message that is America's only hope. For in this message that I hold in my hands in the Holy Bible is the one message that can turn the tide in all America and the world. The one light, the one torch, the one thing that can do what needs to be done, because this message goes to the root of the problem, which is man's heart. Here is the trouble with it all, whether it be in the streets of Los Angeles or Jackson or Selma, New York, Boston or Moscow. The whole trouble is in the human heart that is wicked, sinful, festered, and filled with that is unrighteous. And the only thing that can tame and change that heart is this message. Here's the root of our trouble. People's hearts have been sold out to sin. And the one message that can turn the course is the message that God has given us in his word. In Mark 16, 15, we read, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." I contend that one reason why that America and the world is in the shape it's in today is because that we have failed to take this message. The rebellion, the revolution that is going on in America is nothing more than a rebellion and revolution that's been going on against God for years. Man is not at peace with God until he is at peace with God. He will never be at peace with his fellow man. And the only message that can bring peace on the battle fronts as well as on the home fronts is the message of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we cannot win, for he's the captain of our salvation. So you see, dear people, this is not only a message to die by. This is a message to live by. Civilizations and countries and empires of the past have learned to their disgrace that when they left God and God's word out of their society, that empire crumbled and fell. And the same will spell the doom in no uncertain terms in America. There are many people who think that what's going on in America and all of our demonstrations and explosive issues as well as around the world, that all of these things are just accidentally being triggered off. But anyone who knows the facts knows that this is untrue. Someone has their finger on the trigger, and they're pulling that trigger at the precise moment, and these things are being executed according to a master timetable that few people are aware of. This master's plan and blueprint has as its ultimate end every American either in a slave camp, in slave chains, are shot to death in the back. The ultimate end is the annihilation of this society and this republic. My friends, we need to be informed about this. I have here in my possession today a copy of that blueprint. It was captured by our Allied forces in Dusseldorf in the year of 1919. It is substantiated by the leading communists as still being the plan that they're following today. It is as up-to-date as your morning newspaper. You're going to be surprised that it's 47 years old, because what it says is in direct line with what is taking place right now. I want to read it to you, but I want you to listen to every line, because it speaks a volume of action that has been translated into our American way of life. Now, I want you to notice one other thing. not only is the ultimate end of this blueprint to put us all in slave chains, something that is more incredible than that is this. They have us making our own chains. Americans, by the many of the things that they're doing, are helping to forge the chains that shall enslave them. And few people realize this. I share this with you. On a dark night in May 1919, two lorries rumbled across a bridge and onto the town of Dusseldorf. Among the dozen rowdy singing Tommies, apparently headed for a gay evening, were two representatives of the Allied Military Command Intelligence. These men had traced a wave of indiscipline, mutiny, and murder among the troops to the local headquarters of a revolutionary organization established in the town. Pretending to be drunk, they brushed by the sentries and arrested the ringleaders, a group of 13 men and women seated at a long table. In the course of the raid, the Allied officers emptied the contents of the safe. One of the documents found in it contained a specific outline of blueprint for slavery, rules for bringing about a revolution. And here it is.